All right, the Book of Joshua leaves us a cliffhanger today. The 2.5 tribes that have settled the other side of the Jordan are headed back now that the land is conquered and divided up. I mean, they build this great altar, and no one knows why. And so the other tribes are prepared to attack and kill their brothers because they want to serve God with all their heart. He has delivered the promised land, and everyone is on the same page. And every time they err or stray, and the Lord lifts his blessing, they fail, and they see that very clearly. It's as if they had finally learned their lesson. And so in disbelief, they cannot rationalize why the 2.5 tribes of Israel, who had fought alongside them and seen God show up in every circumstance, are turning away from God and building an altar to some other God, or in some foreign or strange way trying to serve God. And so they send Phinehas and some elders to talk to them. And that's where it leaves us. And I like this story, and that's even why I pointed out. What I'd really like to draw attention to, though, is the cunning brilliance of Jesus. He is a master. He sees so clearly any given situation. He knows what time it is before anyone speaks. And so this story, where he speaks in parable, he uses a story to hit the Pharisees between the eyes. And they're embarrassed and they are mad. But they can't do anything because the people are in agreement, and they're not necessarily looking at the Pharisees as the moral of the story. Because Jesus is also teaching about the kingdom. Always. So they get together and send these spies to try to catch Jesus in this tax question, right? And they know that if they can get Jesus to say something wrong there, they can actually arrest him and deliver him to the Roman authorities, who will do away with him one way or the other. They just think if they can get him into the Roman authorities' hands, they can wash their hands of him. But Jesus is brilliant in this situation. Let me see a coin. Whose face is on the coin? Caesar's is. Okay, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God. I mean, it shuts them down. Why is that, though? When we look at the life of Christ, is it because he's the Son of God and just is all-knowing and handles all these situations with his God powers? I don't think so, because he became fully human to fully identify with us and rescue us. So he is a human being. But when we watch the life of Christ, we see that Jesus is constantly removing himself to spend time with his Father. Constantly separating himself to rejuvenate and reorient himself to heaven and to his mission on earth. Christ has offered us his life. The work of Christ on the cross, and we just celebrated Easter, provides us with access to his life in us. We've accepted Christ into our lives. We're able to live the life Jesus lived. In fact, Jesus said, look, you can do greater things than you've seen me do. So I want to point out that the brilliance of Jesus, the mind of Christ, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is available. And I fully believe as we spend time with God in prayer, and as we seek the face of the Lord, and as we open our lives fully to the guidance and comfort of the Holy Spirit, not only will the fruit of the Spirit dominate our lives, but we will be renewed. We will walk into any situation and know what to do. And our task is great. We are commissioned as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We are here to establish and bring the kingdom. That carries with it, as I've said before, the weight, the stamp of the authority of heaven. God hasn't sent us here ill-equipped to do the task. And he hasn't sent us here to stay in a defensive posture where all we're really trying to do is protect our little domain, stay faithful to Jesus, and thwart the attacks of the evil one so that we can live a nice life. Isn't it at all? Jesus knows that he has to lay his life down, and he knows the Pharisees will ultimately arrest and have him killed. He knows this. But until that time, he walks with brilliance and cunning and exposes their hearts at every turn. It's almost as if he's giving them the opportunity to repent, and some of them do. But even with the knowledge that he will be arrested, tortured, brutalized, and killed terribly, he walks with authority, he walks boldly, he uses his cunning and wisdom to brilliant outcomes. We have this within us to do, to walk boldly into any situation, wherever we are, and bring the kingdom like Christ did. And it's not a matter of whether or not God is going to show up to back us up. He is going to show up and back us up. We are about his business. He's not going to desert us when we finally stick our toe out there and are bold in some way. He will show up because we are about his business, advancing his kingdom. So once again, I encourage us each and every one of us that it's time. It's time to move. It's time to move in the authority of Christ, with the backing of heaven, boldly forward, and preach the good news to all nations. It is time that we reach out and evangelize our neighborhoods. It is time that we take our street for God. It's time that we make a move.